honour to be up here sharing with you. I usually like to be the grey man, just sitting in the background, but here I am today and I love the Lord. And Brad has asked me to share my testimony on getting to know God, but particularly sharing testimonies of just walking with God on a day-to-day basis in relationship with Him. I want to start by sharing the obvious. I'm not a pastor or an evangelist. You may not get a slick, smooth sermon here today, but you're going to hear a testimony of the power of God and what He has done in my life. We all have that power of a testimony. And I also want you to know as well, I've not arrived. I'm progressively coming to know God and have been working on my love relationship with Him for a number of years, but I'm still a work in progress. I still have sin in my life. I still struggle. So I don't want you to under this impression that I'm something I'm not. But to begin with, I feel to set before you a vision of God's heart for each of His children to know Him. And so I just ask you, close your eyes. I want to set this vision before you. Just open the ears of your heart. Christianity is not another religion. It's a relationship with the living God. Our Father wants you to know Him in an intimate and personal two-way relationship where you can ask Him any question and get an instant answer. He wants you to know, to understand, and become intimately acquainted with His heart, His ways, and His very personality. He wants you desperately. He loves you. He likes your very person. He wants you close to Him and for you to be able to sit on His lap and share your heart with Him. He doesn't want you to know about Him, but know and experience Him as our loving Father. Today, I want to explore this with you. And I want to start by sharing my testimony, going through the scriptural basis that we have to know God in this way that I've spoken of. And I'll come in for landing on some of the things that God has taken me on in knowing Him and becoming more acquainted with Him and His ways. So I became a Christian at the age of 21 and after sowing many wild oats for a number of years. I was in darkness. But after my conversion, I'd lost the joy of my salvation about a year later. And I was walking around the mountain with great emptiness. Jesus was my Saviour, but He wasn't my Lord. I hadn't yet fully yielded to Him and taken up my cross and laid down my life. I was learning to know about God, but not know God in a relational way. Even though I was saved, my life still felt empty. My problem was that I was walking in churchianity, what I call churchianity, not Christianity. And I was following a church culture and doing all these works and doing these things, and I was so darn busy. But nothing ever fulfilled that emptiness in my heart. And I believed the lie about the honeymoon period. And God never intended us to finish the honeymoon, but to be madly in love with Him, to be bananas for Jesus. That was His intent. It's only when I took over the Lordship and started running my own life that love relationship started to fade. But let me tell you, that honeymoon should never end. So night after night, I was crying out for about 3 months. I just wanted to know Him, and I knew it was possible. I had this sense in my heart, and it was yearning because there's a special spot in each of us that's reserved for an intimate relationship with Him. Nothing can fill that. No amount of works, no amount of anything can fill that spot except for this relationship and sitting on the Father's lap, like what I'm talking about. God answered my prayers and the yearning of my heart, and He sent me Andrew Ratcliffe. Some of you may know Andrew Ratcliffe. Yeah, bold as a lion, that man. And he came and he gave me this book called My Sheep Hear My Voice. It's a very, very challenging book, and a book that gives you the nuts and bolts of how to know God and how to develop a love relationship with Him. And it totally changed my life. Andrew discipled me for 6 months. Every week I would turn up at his house and he'd teach me these things, and then I was off on my own path. I'm so blessed by that man. God put him in my life. But now I'd like to look at the scriptures and show you the scriptural basis for knowing God, what I've talked about. We'll start in the Old Testament to prove that this was God's original intention before the fall. And then we'll move through to the New Testament, which shows us that Jesus created a way for us to go back to the garden, to have the fellowship He intended with us. So think on this for a moment. What is the whole purpose of God creating man? Prior to the fall, God's whole reason for humanity is that He wanted fellowship and relationship with us, and He wanted to share Himself with us. Powerful. Genesis 1:26 explains that there was a meeting in heaven where the Trinity decided to add us. In this meeting, they said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, all the earth, and every other creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." God even allowed Adam to name the animals together with him. And in Genesis 3:8, we read that before the fall, the Lord was coming down to the earth to meet face to face with Adam in the cool of the evening. We don't know how long between when God created Adam and the fall happened. It could have been a week, could have been a day, it could have been months. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. It could have been years. We don't know. But God would come down and walk with him. And this is still true today. Jesus has made the way back for us to come, which we'll talk about in a minute in the scripture. But why does God want to have fellowship and relationship with us? He already had perfect fellowship in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And we are made in that likeness. We have need of the same fellowship. He had billions of angels, trillions of angels that he could have fellowshipped with. He could have been content with that. I think there's enough people there. But God didn't want us. God didn't need us. He wanted us. And there's a big difference between need and want. Want expresses a heart's desire and a deeper yearning within. Brad likes props, so I promised I'd do a prop. When I hold this cup of water up to you, what emotion does this evoke? Meh. When I hold this up to you, a cup of coffee, what emotion does this evoke? Ooh, warms the cockles of my heart to think about this. Oh, love it. I need water. I want coffee. There's an expression of your heart that comes from want, and the Father wants you. He wants you to know Him. He is not hiding. But this puzzles me. Why does God's heart cry out so much for man? What is it with us that intrigues Him? We offer Him nothing. And it seems like He's getting a bad deal. He's so kind to us and He pursues us. And in our humanity, we're so unfaithful and habitually sin. It's puzzling to me. But God doesn't love. The Bible says He is love. Love is a person, and that's who He is. And he loves us because that's his nature. But something that I discovered on this journey is that God also likes you. Love and like are very, very different things. Like expresses a fondness and a delight of the innermost recesses in your heart. And we can see in our own relationships that sometimes we can feel a labour of love, and you might not really enjoy a person. You can love them, but they're not really enjoyable to be with. But when you like somebody, you're endeared by their very person. And it brings a sense of joy and a desire to be around them. God loves us and likes us. And this is astounding. He delights in you and who he made you to be in your new nature, not your old nature, your new nature. You are endearing to God. There's something about you that tickles God's heart. It's astounding. So moving into the New Testament, in John 17, Jesus is praying for us, and this is an amazing picture of the humility of God, of Jesus before the Father. And so John 17:3 gives us the definition of eternal life, which means we can know him personally. And this is Jesus praying, and this is what he said. And this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, whom you have sent. Most people would think eternal life means living forever. But that's not what it means. We're all going to live forever. We have eternal spirits. You're going to live in heaven or you are going to live in hell. Eternal life means that we can know the Father and the Son, and it's a beautiful gift. And this is the authorization Jesus has given us to know him. The Greek word, I have it down the bottom, for know there in Strong's is G1097, and it means to know in a variety of ways and applications, to know experientially. It doesn't mean knowing information about God, which is acquired knowledge, or having a salvation experience. It means knowledge gained through experiencing him. Knowing someone comes from spending quality time together, experiencing their person in a variety of ways and life applications. It's the same way like a husband knows a wife or a wife knows a husband. And I've been married for 18 years and I do know my wife better than anybody. And I can be at a social event, at a barbecue or something, I can look across and look at her talking to people. I know what she's feeling. I know what she's thinking. I know if she's having a good time or not because we've spent so much time together. I perceive her, I know her, I understand her. And I can tell when it's time to go with a look, when she's had enough. And that's comes through spending much time together. And it's the same with the Father. We share our innermost with him and he shares his innermost with us. This is the Latin word, intimacy. It means innermost. He's our Father and he loves to hear the details of our lives. And just as we enjoy talking to our own children, hearing what's important to them, he's interested in us. So every day I start my day with a cup of tea with the Lord and I say good morning. And the Lord says good morning back to me. That's a strange thing. He knows how I'm feeling. He's been next to my bed all night. He knows everything. But this is part of relationship. Sometimes the Lord in the morning will want me to share about something that's going on in my life or a struggle I'm having. And he loves to listen to the details, and especially in trouble. I once had a desire to climb a mountain at Barrington Tops, and the Lord said to me, pull out a map. I want you to look at a map and let's look at some routes together. And I stopped and I said, oh, Lord, this is just stupid. It's just a worldly thing climbing this mountain. And what the Lord said to me back stunned me. He said to me, if it's important to you, it's important to me. I climbed that mountain at a later point and I did it with God and I had the most spiritual experience. It was amazing. But you get to know somebody by spending quality time with them, doing what they want and preferring them above yourself. And the more time you spend with them, the more you get to know them through experience. And this isn't talking about having occasional visits to God's presence. God wants us to live there. He wants us to live there. I'm sure he loves visits, but he wants us to live there. About 6 months ago, I asked the Lord and I said, Lord, I want to just spend some time with you. Can you give me something to do that we could do together? To my surprise, he said, I want to do a Sudoku with you every day. I'd never been able to get past the easy level. And I said to the Lord, can you teach me how to get to the expert levels? I really don't know. So we've been doing Sudoku together and I can now do expert level. And it's been through the teaching of the Spirit showing me what things I do and trial and error and just sort of having a great time with him. But you might be surprised if you ask the Lord for something like this. The Lord once said to me to do the dishes and the kitchen every night for a whole month. This was like after work and super tired and all of that. And I thought, oh, great. But I obeyed and I had the best time with God because he said to do it and I was doing it with him. And I received so much revelation doing the dishes. It was crazy. But I want to encourage you, we'll move into a couple of other testimonies in a minute, but there's so many scriptures that prove this relationship is possible and that we can know him. And it's a very precious pearl of great price. And so I've talked about these scriptures and what I will talk about in a minute is the benefits of knowing God. But I also don't want to mislead you. And I must share the whole truth on this matter. There's also a great consequence of not knowing God in an intimate and personal way. And I'm not going to read this. It's a very scary scripture. But Matthew 7, 21 to 23, the Lord says to many Christians on that last day, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This word new is the same Greek word used in John 17, which means it's explaining an intimate and personal knowledge of God. Knowing about God or just having a salvation experience or just sitting, even doing mighty works could just cause you to lose a reward. And I don't say this to scare you. It's a scary scripture. But just to show you that a relationship with God is so critical. And it's wise to ask the Lord now, do I know you in the way that this scripture says? You don't want to get to the end and find out and be surprised. You want to know now so you can go and develop your relationship with God now so you can fix it, so you can have your rewards in heaven. And we are only here on the earth such a short time to qualify for eternity. And it's clear in this scripture that knowing God in a personal way and our identity in him defines, qualifies us. It's not got to do with works or anything. It's about knowing him and knowing our identity in him as children and sons and daughters of God. I just want to go through very quickly some of the journey, of my journey of knowing God and some of the things that God has changed or developed in me in coming to know him. But the first slide is, God taught me, is changing the operating system. Jesus has to be literal and functional Lord of your life. He's a king. We have to do it his way. We can't offend the king. If we do something that offends the king, we can't remain in his presence. If you think of King Charles or something, you're going to have to live his way if you wanted to get to know him and spend time with him. But it is the absolute key. And the change in the operating system, we have the operating computer system of a toaster compared to God with an advanced iOS system, you know, Apple system. The difference is staggering. But our operating system in the carnal nature is condemned. The Bible's very clear on that. It doesn't work. And compared to God's operating system, it's extremely low. Jesus' ways are higher than our ways, not just a little bit. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how much his operating system is above ours. But I had to stop trusting my abilities and just let Jesus be on the keyboard, get off the throne, and just let him direct me. And we've been talking about surrender for the last 2 weeks, and Brad gave a great sermon, and surrender is amazing. It's so refreshing, giving up your life. Oh, it's wonderful. I had to go from visiting the presence of God to living in the presence of God. And I said this before, God doesn't want us to visit. He wants us to be there every moment of every day. But in the beginning, I had a big problem. I would only enter the presence of God during worship. And as soon as the music stopped or faded or shortly thereafter, that sweet presence of Jesus would start to fade and leave, and I'd be lucky to keep it enough time to get out of the church. But I can have that same feeling now by sitting on the couch, and God showed me that worship was the only time that I was giving up my life and focusing my eyes on the eternal things of God. And so being in the presence of God comes from surrender and Jesus being the Lord. And this allows you to abide more consistently in his presence where there is fullness of joy. The Lord taught me to be connected and sensitive to God throughout the whole day. And so I was starting having an hour with God in the morning, and then I'd go and do life and forget about him. I'd have an hour in the heavenlies and then come out and do life. And I was unplugging after that morning time. And he taught me to remain sensitive to him throughout the day and to keep my eyes focused on what is pleasing to him and being faithful in small things, not big things, just the small things. It's just spending time with God. And I had to develop an awareness of when God was grieving me about something I was doing or a sin I was committing or something that he didn't want, and using the peace to confirm that I was doing what he wanted. And God gave me the scripture in Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule your heart, acting as umpire. In a game, AFL, the umpire tells you what is in and what is out. And being sensitive to the grieving of the Holy Spirit and to the peace of God are very important. As soon as the umpire blows that whistle, stop. Yes, Lord, is there something you want? The umpire has blown his whistle, but this is basic communication. And we also taught our kids this in how to hear the Lord. The Lord said, grab a packet of cards, get 3 cards out, make sure one of those is a king. We'd put them face down, and they had to practice using the peace of God and the grieving of the Spirit, which one is the king, Lord? And they would put their finger on it. No, it's not that one. Not that one. Yes, it's that one. And just experiencing God flow upon you to say that is where the king is. We used to do it with clinkers. You get a packet of clinkers. Before you bite into it, you go, Lord, is this a green one, a yellow one, or a pink one? And you, before you bite into it, you just check and test by God coming upon you which one it is. But also lately, God has been directing me very specifically to go for walks around my neighbourhood and at very specific times. And I've been having crazy divine appointments and encounters with people. I got to pray for a lady who lost her daughter. I've been able to speak the things of God to people, all while walking. Lord, which way do I go? I come to a street, left or right, God? Peace to go left. Okay, I'll go left. I'll go right. Okay, I'm getting a grieving. No, keep going. Like, this is just basic sort of just walking with God at trying to obey him in the small things and being led. Like it says in Acts, the first apostles and believers, they were full of and controlled by and led by the Holy Spirit in everything. And this is what God taught me about there. I even ask where to sit when I come into church. And this is amazing because we're a part of a body. I might need something from Jonesy. The Lord might say, sit next to Jonesy. He's got something for you. We're a part of a body. He supplies my need. Last week, I was led to sit next to Margie. And we had such a blessed time. I was so encouraged by Margie and just we got to pray for each other. She supplied my need. I helped supply her need in praying for each other. It's just being led by God in the small things. Oh gosh, this is a big lesson I had to learn. You have to test what you hear is from God and not from the devil or self. And I'm looking at Brian and Tina here. You're going to know this if you're in a prophetic position. But I want to share with you a really significant mistake I made. The devil made a complete fool of me and I experienced the judgment of God. And I want to share this with you. But you must check what you're hearing is from God, because the devil comes as an angel of light. He's not going to tell you, go and murder this person. You know, he's not going to tempt you with bad. He's going to tempt you with good. Something that seems right, but leads to misery. And we don't have time to go through this, but you test the word that you're getting from God, and it has to pass three tests. First one is, it can't be contrary to the written word, the Bible. The second one is, the Holy Spirit comes upon you to bear witness. His job is to bear witness to truth, that word you heard is from him. Once you have the witness, you then move to the peace of God. If it departs from you, that is not from the Lord. It has to pass those three tests. But here's my big testimony, and I say it because it was one of the biggest lessons I learned. I was down at Gosford on my lunch break working. I was working in a bank at the time, and I heard this word, go into this spiritual shop over there. They were doing tarot readings in this in the window. There was chanting, and I heard this word, go in and tell them this is an abomination to the living God. And I was like, yeah, righto, I'm going to kick some tables over. Anyway, I didn't test it. I did it. Oh, very upset. For that month afterwards, my life was so difficult. And I was prompted to tell my mentor at the time and ask, did they place a curse on me or something? My life's gone bad. I was struggling for the word then. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. You know what I meant. And he prayed. And he came back with a word from the Lord. And he rebuked me so hard and said, the Lord said, you made a major error. I'd pronounced judgment on them and that I had hindered them from coming to the Lord. He said, there was no curse on you. You're experiencing the judgment of God. The voice was from the devil, and I didn't test it. And the devil made a fool of me because he knew if I was going to issue judgment, what's the word say? You're going to be judged back with the same measure. Ooh. As a part of my repentance, I was broken that I'd hindered people from coming to the Lord. I'd issued a judgment when I should have. If that was the Lord, he may have issued an oracle for them. As part of my repentance, I had to call the shop and apologize. The Lord made me do that. And I spoke for over 20 minutes on the phone with the owner that owned these four spiritual shops all around the Central Coast. And I apologized to her and cried and told her that Jesus really loves her. He's not judging her. And she was crying on the phone and she said, I know your God is real. And she said to me, many crazy Christians come in here probably once a week doing exactly what you did and they're off-putting. It's like, it's not love. I was like choking, convicted. And she was coming close to Jesus. And what I'd done was hardened her against God and was hindering the work that was going on. But I say this to you because you have to test what God says. The devil made a fool of me. Here's the good one. I've discovered that God wants to have fun with you, and obeying him is like that game Simon Says. It's actually fun. I've never had more fun obeying God, and my day starts asking God, what do you want me to do today, after I've had a cup of tea and a chat? Usually I get about four or five things that he wants me to focus on, and obeying them is so much fun. And I want to give a testimony from a couple of months ago. The Lord said to go to the shop at this particular time and buy groceries. And I got there, and as I stepped out of the car, the Lord said, stop. He grieved me. And he said, don't take your wallet in. You've got $30 in your wallet, cash. Take that in alone. And I was like, but Lord, I've got a shopping list here. It's going to be $100. He said, go. And so I went in there, filling up the basket, going, calculating it in my head, thinking, I'm going to look like a goose when I get there. But I had a sense of excitement, and the Lord said, stop counting. And I got there and I unpacked, and the lady started scanning, and I said, I'm so sorry, it's already $30. I've only got $30. You're going to have to stop. I paused for a moment. A man right next to me handed me cash. And yeah, he handed me cash and then very quickly left. And I was laughing, and the lady at the counter goes, that happens sometimes. It's amazing to watch. And I said, that was God. And she just looked at me blankly. But it turned out that man that gave me the money is my new neighbor down the road. And so now, doing my street walks, you know, I'll wave to him and I'll, you know, I've had a chat with him. But I got to experiencing God, experience God just simply obeying. Lastly, before I finish up, lap time and bonding with Jesus and the Father. This is so important. You only trust God and surrender God to the amount that you know you love him. He loves you. And so sitting on his lap is very, very important. Putting your head on his chest, just sitting there like one of the disciples did. It's very important, and it surprises me doing it, how much God is not necessarily interested in about talking about doing things, but about you just being there with him. It's amazing. But I'll finish up here now. But my job here today was to encourage you that this relationship with God is possible. That a personal relationship on a day-by-day basis is fun. It's amazing. It's critical. It's life-changing. And it's a precious pearl of great price. We have to go after it. We have to really pursue it and make it our full aim, as Paul said, to just know God and seek after him. And develop that love relationship like the honeymoon period. Back to the honeymoon. And your spiritual growth will exponentially increase. And you will please the Father's heart because that's what he wants. He wants to be in relationship with you more than you want with him. His heart is yearning. And I just encourage you, this is an amazing life, the normal Christian life. Just go after him, guys. So thanks for letting me share with you today.
Yeah, I just want to just give God a couple of minutes just to allow us to respond to him. I don't know what your thoughts are, whether it's like, it's going a bit far, isn't it? It's a bit crazy. My encouragement is, give it a try. What do you got to lose? But I just really feel the love of the Father. And I just want to, again, just allow your spirit just to savour the love of the Father. But the question I just want you to ask him is, what's the one thing that the Father wants to enjoy with you? If it's a Sudoku, if it's something fun and something that you get delight out of that he wants to share with you, if it's giving your heart, if you've never actually said, Father, I want you, then now's a great time to do that. So as we lead into this final song, Father, I just pray that you'll prompt us, and you're so kind in helping us to know what it is that you enjoy about us and what you enjoy doing with us. But just, yeah, I just pray that you'll just help us to identify one thing that will help us to know you, to have that experiential knowledge of you. So just as we sit in silence, just bring to mind, what is it you delight to do with us to help us to know you more?